Hi, this is Chris Kepler with Does This Happen to You? The podcast where we explore the more bizarre ways of getting through your day. This week, we start out with more dating tips from The Return of the Modern Philosopher, a blog on WordPress. And here is How to Date on a Budget. Summer is here, modern philosophers, which means that dating season is now in full swing. As always, I am here with an abundance of extremely helpful tips to assist you as you navigate the uncertain world of dating. This batch of dating tips is aimed specifically at our friends in England, who are currently dealing with their country's decision to exit the European Union. Hard economic times are probably ahead, and they might even end up coming to America to lead happier, more prosperous lives. This means our Brexit-inflicted friends could end up joining our nation's already crowded and confused dating pool. And if they do, they will most likely be on a tight budget. With that in mind, here are some great ideas for how to date on a budget. Take her on a picnic. While your date would probably prefer that you take her to a fancy restaurant to wine and dine her, you can still provide food and drink at only a fraction of the cost. In addition, you can take advantage of the gorgeous summer weather, which is something you should remind her about should she balk at your idea. And what's more romantic than sitting on a blanket and basking in the sun's warm glow as you get to know each other better? Bologna is currently on sale for $1.99 a pound. Slap a few slices on wheat bread, super healthy. Be generous with the mustard, and if you really like her, splurge for some cheese. The store brand, though, to avoid going over budget. A 2-liter bottle of soda and a bag of generic chips, or crisps, as the Brexit crowd might call them, will round out the menu. Since you're preparing the food, you don't have to worry about your companion ordering the most expensive item on the menu and then never calling you for a second date. And if things go well, you've already got the blanket. Free movie or concert in the park. Most cities offer free outdoor activities during the summer months to ensure that the pasty populace goes outside to get some color. In Bangor, there is a free movie in the park every Friday night. I can also sit on my porch and listen to all the concerts down at the waterfront. Find that free event, pack a few snacks, maybe picnic leftovers, and chat up your date about how lucky you are to live in a place that offers such wonderful entertainment for its citizens. Go for a run. This idea is not only free, but it's also healthy. Plus, you can kill several relationship birds with that one proverbial and free stone. By suggesting that you go for a run, you're telling her that you're into fitness and confident in your health. If she accepts the offer, you know she is like-minded about health and fitness. Plus, you get to see your date in tight, skimpy running clothes. If you complete your run in a decent time, you get to establish how virile you are. If she beats you, it tells you she is competitive and in great shape. When it's done, you can jokingly invite her to go back to your place to shower. If she says yes to another free activity, then you know the date is going very well. Hit the beach. It's summer, it's hot, and the beach is free. Added benefit, you get to see how your date looks in a bathing suit. You can also tell a lot about her and her feelings for you based on the type of swimsuit she wears. If it's a skimpy bikini that shows off a rockin' body, then you probably don't need any more dating tips from me. Go camping. This is a complicated one, but if you can pull it off, then you might be on your way to a great relationship. Going camping is like living together only outdoors and without a toilet or all the distractions that electricity allows. It can also be a great way to get to know someone, see if you're compatible, and really have a romantic time. Of course, there are some dangers lurking out there in the woods, so be careful. Definitely avoid Camp Crystal Lake at all costs. Make her pay, or at least go Dutch. It's the 21st century. We are all equals, And it's a little medieval to just assume that the man is going to foot the bill on the first date. I'm not saying you have to force the bill on her when it comes, but you can see if she reaches for it. Or if she politely offers to pitch in, totally assuming that you will be a gentleman, and emphatically reject the idea, take her up on her offer. The first date sets the tone for the entire relationship. If you establish from the get-go that you're paying for everything, you could be setting a dangerous precedent and heading down the path to bankruptcy, which shouldn't happen until you start having kids. Dine and dash. If she insists on the fancy restaurant instead of the picnic, you can accommodate her request. Just go someplace where no one knows you, don't use your real name, and run like hell before you pay. Hopefully, you've taken my advice and gone on a few runs as dates, so you'll have both the speed and the stamina to pull this one off. Rob a bank. Everyone loves an awesome How We Met story to tell friends and the kids. What would be more awesome than the tale of how you held up a bank on your first date? If you pull off the job without getting arrested or killed, it proves that you make a great team. She's a keeper. Robbing a bank would also finance future dates, so you wouldn't have to limit yourself to the outstanding ideas suggested in this blog post. Just thought of something, though. While this would make the greatest How We Met story ever, you can't really tell it to anyone because that would be an admission of guilt and lead to the FBI pounding on your door. But you and your date would still have the memory, which is really all that matters, and I bet you'd relive the thrill of the moment every time you guys walked hand in hand past a bank on your way to another night out together. Well, I could go on with the dating tips, but my girlfriend is waiting, and I still have to make the bologna sandwiches for our date. Hopefully, what I've shared with you in this post is enough to give you the confidence to get out there and try to find the love of your life without breaking your budget. If you have any questions, ask away in the comments section, and one of the interns will get back to you ASAP. Happy dating! And the next story today is Mitzi from Story Shucker, a blog on WordPress. We'd been lying in the shade together for quite a while. I was on my back, hands cupped behind my head, she on her side facing me. I talked about things bothering me at the time, while she stared intently into my eyes. I was just a kid, but I remember knowing how lucky I was to have her by my side. I noticed her long eyelashes each time she blinked, but I didn't love her for her long eyelashes, didn't love her for her perfectly white teeth, and didn't even love her for the way she seemed to adore me. She was still looking directly into my eyes when she burped in my face, wagged her tail twice, and continued chewing on a stick. I loved her because I was a boy, and she was a dog. Mitzi was a collie. I was only 9 when we went as a family to meet the litter. I don't remember which one of us picked her, or whether she picked us, but in short order we were on our way home. Mama and Daddy in the front seat, while my sisters and I in the back fought over whose lap the fuzzy puppy should ride home on. It would take a lifetime to tell about her lifetime, and anyone who's loved a dog knows that telling doesn't do it justice. You have to have felt it. As a puppy, she was hugged and kissed constantly. As she grew up, she was naturally our best friend. As she aged, she earned the respect of family and friends as an intelligent, faithful old girl. We treated her like any other member of the family, because that's exactly what she was. During those years, Mitzi made hundreds of trips to the pasture, ran countless miles behind our bikes, refereed dodgeball games, gave us away during hide-and-seek, and waited patiently while we worked in the garden. She was a happy constant when we returned from school, and she didn't just wag her tail. Her entire backside swayed when she saw us coming. Many families have several dogs over the years. My family did too, and we loved them all. But as a 9-year-old boy, that collie puppy was the dog. 13 years into her life, I was 22, and that happy old collie was still the dog. When she fell ill, it happened fast. I went to work, but called home later to check on her. Mama hesitated, but told me poor old Mitzi had died. Back in those days, in spite of regular vet trips starting with her spaying and continuing with regular vaccinations, heartworm prevention was not what it is today, and sadly, she was a victim. I hung up with Mama and went to tell my boss that I needed to go home. When she asked why, I said there had been a death in the family. My phrasing had nothing to do with dishonesty. It was to me the genuine reason. I'd heard she had a dog at home, so surely she would understand. She expressed her condolences and asked who had died. When I said, my dog, there was a pause before she giggled slightly and said she just couldn't let me go home for that reason. With no one who could easily cover for me, I'd have to stay. I left her office and talked to my co-workers who agreed to cover for me, no problem. I then let my boss know that I'd made arrangements for coverage, but she repeated to me that no, I needed to stay. I left. There was nothing I could do when I got home. Daddy and one of my sisters had already buried Mitzi there in the same pasture where she'd played all her life. Nothing I could do but to stay at work with that load of grief would have been pointless for me. It was Friday, and on Monday I talked to my boss about it again, if I still had a job. It was a sad weekend. We cried, laughed, talked about Mitzi, and talked to Mitzi. Family and friends called to say they were sorry. They treated her death as though she'd been a real member of the family. Because that's exactly what she was. Early Monday morning, I learned from co-workers that my boss had been very unhappy about my leaving on Friday after she told me to stay. I started working and waited for my fate, but my boss didn't come in. On Tuesday, she was there. I tried to read her face as she walked towards me. My boss said nothing as she handed me the envelope and walked away. I looked at it, puzzled. She'd said nothing, and ripped it open expecting my dismissal letter. It contained nothing official, just a small card from her to me. A sympathy card. I learned later why my boss hadn't been at work the day before. Sadly, her own dog had been hit by a car over the weekend, and in spite of the vet's efforts, it hadn't lived. My boss was understandably upset and stayed home that Monday. She had let management know her absence was due to a death in the family. Because that's exactly what it was. And now it's time for the Does This Happen to You? Moments in the News This Week. 2 pounds of marijuana sent to Carver High School in Atlanta, Georgia. In other news, Jose Mota in Los Angeles, California, complained to local post office about a missing package. Package supposed to go to Carver, Florida. Jose, who claims his business is shipping gourmet herbs, says he gave the package to his niece, Mary Jane, with specific instructions. Jose admits his niece is a bit laid back and occasionally forgets the details. So, he will forgive the USPS this time and use a courier service to ship next time. Pamela and Bridget are causing major excitement in Tunisia this week. The best players of Bagra are pulling out all the stops for these two ladies. The guys are using all their cow herding skills to top the charts. The winner this week received Pamela as the prize, and next week's top cow herder will be awarded Bridget. At this moment, Pamela is being loaded up for the trip to her new home. She balked at getting in the trailer at first, but a little hay in front of her nose convinced her to walk all the way in. Yes, in Tunisia, the best Bagra player gets a real, live cow. The latest upscale home buyer conversation goes like this. Did you see the latest home for sale video, dear? Yes, I did. I like the view from the hot tub and the stone fireplace, but the guy dressed up as a panda working out on the Stairmaster was a bit creepy. It's true. An upscale realtor hoping to get a bit more money for a luxury home convinced the owner to don a panda suit for the video. Unless you're a loaded furry fancier, I don't think this gimmick is going to work. Your grandma likes to drive fast. Police in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, caught a 78-year-old going 140 kilometers per hour in a 70 kilometers per hour zone. Charged with stunt driving, her license seized and her car impounded for 7 days, she is a bit upset. When asked why she was going so fast, the grandmother claimed she was late for bingo. Her hearing isn't what it used to be, and you can't get a good seat near the front if you're late. Babysitter in Colorado found a new use for the kids and a way to make really good money babysitting. Go to the bank drive-through window and pass a note to the teller saying there is a man in the car who is threatening to hurt the kids unless he gets money. Works every time, until you drive away and the police investigate. When asked about the mean man in the car, the kids responded, "What man?" Thanks so much for listening. If you like the stories or my podcast, please share and let me know. You'll find me on Twitter at ChrisKKArya, Pinterest, Facebook, and LinkedIn. Remember, it's Chris with a K. I'm always looking for fun stories to narrate, so if you're an author or writer with a story which fits the Does This Happen to You theme, please contact me or comment on my Podbean page. You can hire me to narrate and produce your book into an audiobook too, ready for upload to Audible. Want to hear more stories? Please become my podcast patron. Just click the link on my Podbean page.